From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And later in the show, we're going to be talking about this news, of course, of the war, Iran, Israel, U.S., and the G7 and such matters. But we want to begin today by speaking to David Jacobs, a Toronto lawyer, practiced international law, has been at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda and for former Yugoslavia, has written and spoken about these matters. And we've recently lost a dear colleague, Christopher Black, and there's going to be a memorial today. So we want to speak to David about that. Are you there, David?
I am, yes. Good morning.
So today, there's going to be a service in Toronto. Can you tell us about it?
Yes. So today there's going to be an event this afternoon to commemorate the life of Christopher Black. Sorry, I'm hearing an echo. I'm not sure if you're hearing
it. Yes, it's slight. We'll try to work through it. I think you're coming across okay. There's just a slight. We'll work on that. Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. So, so today, let me just back up a little bit. Chris Black is an outstanding and courageous international lawyer, and unfortunately, on the 28th of May of this year, he suffered a sudden and massive stroke. And died on the 5th of June. He was 76 years old.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an event today at Cardinal Funeral Homes in Toronto on Bathurst Street. The address is 366 Bathurst Street, Toronto, which is roughly at Bathurst below College, between College and Dundas. And the event starts at 1 p.m. People will be meeting there. It's called a visitation, but Chris's body was cremated. Following the event at 3 p.m., part of the event, there'll be something in the nature of a service, which will really be a discussion, a memorial of Chris's life and achievements. It's not going to be a religious service, but it'll be a mm-hmm. human service, if I can put it that way.
Yeah. There's been letters and messages from around the world. Chris was quite well known in the international community for his speaking out on a number of issues, but particularly on the criminal so-called international tribunals.
Yes. I mean, there's a flurry of condolences coming in, as you say, from around the world, from author John Loughlin from the United Kingdom, John Helmer, who is in Russia, Yelena Markovich, who works with RT Balkan, there's an obituary on Black Agenda Report, which you can find online, which includes a discussion with yourself, Phil, as
yes.
you're aware. It's hard to go through all of the names of people who have expressed their sympathy and their condolences, including Don DeBoer, John Schaefer, Ed Lehman. Chris is described correctly as a lawyer, activist, actor, writer, storyteller, author, musician, traveler, orator, teacher, and friend. I mean, he was terribly active, very active right up until the time he suffered the stroke. He's written articles, spoken in places like Belgrade recently about international criminal law and so on. He had a really stunning achievement in front of the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, representing a general in the Rwandan armed forces who was charged with all kinds of war crimes and so on, General Ndindirimana. General Ndindirimana was convicted of some of the charges against him at trial. Chris represented him on appeal, had him acquitted on appeal of all charges. And given my history of the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, I can tell you that those kind of victories were rare as hen's teeth. And Chris, I think, was well described as a fearless lawyer. All lawyers are supposed to be. We are bound by our professional obligations to fearlessly represent our clients, including, obviously, those people who are accused and who have been vilified in the media, none more than somebody like General Ndindirimana. Unfortunately, that kind of fearlessness, although it is part of our professional obligations as lawyers, it's not a characteristic, I would say, of all lawyers, unfortunately. Lawyers, like other people, sometimes succumb to public pressure and public prejudices, but not Chris. He spoke out. He spoke out and wrote. He wrote together with the late Ed Herman, who was a collaborator with Noam Chomsky, about the NATO attack on Yugoslavia and the role played by Canadians involved in that. He took part in assisting President Milosevic in the defense of President Milosevic against the charges against him, and the charges against him which formed part of a narrative which permitted the NATO attack on Yugoslavia in what I think most scholars would agree now was a grave breach of international law. So Chris was not scared to put himself out there, notwithstanding that it compromised his safety from time to time. But he was a courageous lawyer, and we've lost, as the obituary on the website says, we've lost another warrior poet. I think that's a rather nice way of talking about him.
Yeah, I really like to underline that. He did the fundamental thing of challenging the assumptions of the court. And he did this thing which criminal lawyers, of course, are quite familiar with, and the public should finally learn the lesson that there is a presumption of innocence, and the media and often governments violate that and convict someone long before they arrive at trial. I know that Chris was asked many times a rather supercilious question, oh, how could you defend him? Well, he's innocent until shown otherwise, and we will test the evidence and find out. But you know, Dave, the other thing of the by doing this work, and you did it as well, and Ramsey Clark and Charles Roach and others, all good colleagues and friends of Chris's, a foundation has been laid through that by courageous lawyers. That will cause any honest historian to revisit the whole story of what unfolded in Rwanda in 1994 and 1990, and of course, well, the whole history. But there was assumptions made that really prejudiced, of course, the cases. But once those cases were fought, if people study them, you will have a totally different view of how events unfolded and who the good guys and the bad guys were. Go ahead.
Sure. No, I was going to say, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda was a strange creature, and it ended up really being a form of victor's justice. And again, as Ramsey Clark described it, a continuation of war by other means. I mean, the clue, in a way, is in the full name of the tribunal, which was the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, to prosecute persons responsible for genocide and other serious violations of international human law, humanitarian law committed in the territory of Rwanda and neighboring states between 1 January 1994 and 31 December 1994. I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of a frightening description. I mean, our criminal courts don't say they're a criminal court there to prosecute people. It's not the job of the court to prosecute people, and it's not certainly not the job of the court to prosecute people responsible for murder. Once you say you're prosecuting people responsible for genocide, you've made assumptions, and the assumptions are, A, there was a genocide, and B, you're prosecuting those people who've committed it. So it's rather difficult to have a presumption of innocence after you've made all of those a priori assumptions. I mean, imagine somebody who is accused of a major crime, say murder in Canada, they are entitled to get up and say, there was no murder. You have no body. The person I'm alleged to have murdered is still alive. Or I'm acting in self-defense, or whatever those things are. If the court was a court to prosecute John Smith for murder, that would be problematic. It's the job of the prosecutors to prosecute. It's the job of a court to sit and listen to the evidence and determine if this person innocent up until the time the court declares him guilty. To find out whether the evidence shows, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the accused person committed the act. I mean, the other thing which is frightening, I think, now it should be scary to us, is the temporal limitations. They're looking at what happened in a snapshot of a year. That snapshot can't give you the whole picture. Certainly in the case of Rwanda, the whole picture involves some things that happened way before 1994, that is, the invasion of Rwanda and the war commenced in 1990.
Yes. I recall that very vividly, that another general who was acquitted, I was in the courtroom when he appeared the first time, and and he said simply, they asked him how he pled, and he said, there was no genocide, there was a war, not guilty, and he was found, by the way, eventually not guilty. So it's very important. The work of Chris Black was very important, and he laid it out very nicely. I really hope that some of the testimony, some of his cross-examination, I know that his summary of the defense case is online, and I hope that they at the this will all will be circulated, the information people can have as to track his work in court, which will affect how history is written. And so tell us again the hours and place, et cetera, for the memorial, I'm going to call it, for Christopher Black.
As I understand it, so it's commencing at 1 o'clock today. There'll be a gathering of family, friends, and colleagues at Cardinal Funeral Homes, located at 366 Bathurst Street, Toronto. That's roughly Bathurst and Dundas, between Bathurst and Dundas and Bathurst and College. And at 3 p.m., there will be what they describe as a service, but it will really be a series of remembrances and comments about Chris and his life from people who sent him condolence messages from the world and his family members and such. So that's it. I hope people can come out and pay their respects and tribute to a really remarkable lawyer, exemplary lawyer.
Christopher Black. Christopher Black. It's 1 p.m., 366 Bathurst, Cardinal Funeral Home. David Jacobs, thank you very much. I know that you're going to be speaking there today, as are members of the family and colleagues and lawyers who worked alongside Chris. So thank you very, very much for telling us about this.
Thank you. Yes, I'll miss him. He and I spent much time together in Tanzania, Toronto, and on the road, but as did you, I think. Yeah. But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. We'll take a little musical break. We're going to come back. We will be speaking to Jacob Leibovich about an upcoming demonstration opposing this war and calling for an end to the fighting between Iran and Israel.